This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is PJ Hrabowski. She is the host of Film Score Friday, heard every Friday, including tomorrow on KUAF. And PJ, if I'm correct looking at the calendar, it's about time to talk about Christmas movie soundtracks?
Yes, because this is the holiday Film Score Friday coming up.
Excellent.
So I thought I'd focus on one at first, Kyle, and this is one that actually you saw before I did, and you told me about it before I had ever seen it before. It's a Wonderful Life.
And many people now consider, you know, who hasn't seen this?
I know.
But it really came into its own as far as a popular movie not that long ago, maybe within the last 20 years.
I know, because when I met you like 27 years ago, I know, isn't that creepy? But you started telling me about It's a Wonderful Life, and I went, huh? You know, and I'd never seen it. And then, wow, it was originally made for Liberty Films and is one of the most popular and heartwarming films ever made by director Frank Capra. Now, he regarded this film as his own personal favorite, and it was also Jimmy Stewart's favorite of all his feature films, although they've started calling him James.
He'll always be Jimmy Stewart.
I know, me too. You know, it was actually a box office flop at the time it was released, and it only became the Christmas movie classic in the 1970s due to repeated television showings at Christmas time when its copyright protection slipped and fell into public domain in 1974, and TV stations could air it for free.
And would air it often.
Right. Now, Republic Pictures restored its copyright claim to the film in 1993 with exclusive video rights to it, and now it can only be shown on NBC, and its distribution rights belong to Paramount Pictures. And by the way, it will air Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock.
It was on last Saturday. I watched it, and it will be on again Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and that's when I plan on watching it, is Christmas Eve. The film's screenplay was based on The Greatest Gift, an original short story first written on a Christmas card by Philip Van Doren Stern.
So it was all Christmas card.
Yeah, it was taken on a little story that was written on a Christmas card. And, you know, It's a Wonderful Life is actually a dark, bittersweet post-war tale of a savings and loan manager who struggled against a greedy banker and his own self-doubting nature in a small town. And you know, it turns kind of Dickensian, kind of similar to A Christmas Carol, although in this case it's told from Bob Cratchit's point of view instead of from Scrooge's.
I love this movie. But it always makes me chuckle a little bit when George Bailey doesn't exist and he's running into Pottersville,
right,
as opposed to Bedford Falls.
Right.
And so the camera scans over what has happened to this town and how it's fallen apart. So there's live music. It's all happening. You know, there's all this noise. And it's like, well, maybe Bedford Falls did need a little bit of a boost there. So that always makes me laugh,
right,
that jazz is somehow associated with the decadence. The other thing, now we talk, you know, Film Score Friday is about scores. I can't, right now, looking at you, hum one note from this movie.
Of course. I know.
Yeah.
Buffalo Gals, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, original music, I don't think of that.
I'll tell you about that. Well, in his honestly written autobiography, Please Don't Hate Me, Dmitri Tiomkin wrote about It's a Wonderful Life. I never saw it after it was completed. After the music was on the soundtrack, Frank Capra cut it up, switched sections around, patched it up, an all-around scissors job. After that, I didn't want to hear it. Okay, now, Kyle, you've just asked me about, you know, the music. Well, one of the reasons that it's so weird is it's all chopped up and moved around. Yet much of Tiomkin's music remains in the film, and it is a wonderful score. Stephen Cox has a book called It's a Wonderful Life, a memory book, and he wrote that the film that eventually became one of Tiomkin's most famous works actually became a disappointment for the composer, both personally and professionally, when Capra replaced much of his original orchestration with bits and pieces from even other sources. Now, good news. Music producer Willard Carroll found Tiomkin's entire score in the 1980s in the archives of the University of Southern California. So Carroll and composer-conductor David Newman set out to release the unaltered Tiomkin score. In 1988, their CD was released by Telarc with music richly recreated and recorded by London's Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Willard Carroll wrote, The score, as it stands in the movie, is a hodgepodge. Most of it is Tiomkin, but because of the accelerated release date, a great deal of it was chopped up, switched around, and in many cases, replaced by cues from other movies. We recorded the complete score as Tiomkin originally intended it, and it was unheard since 1946. And Kyle, that's the recording we'll be hearing tomorrow on Film Score Friday.
Tiomkin was not pleased with what Frank Capra did.
Oh, not at all. In fact, and at the end, you know, when they sing Auld Lang Syne, mm-hmm. he actually had Beethoven's Ode to Joy. And they even took some, Capra even took some music from The Hunchback of Notre Dame and threw it into the movie.
We're going to hear the score as it was supposed to be for It's a Wonderful Life.
That's
other
right.
holiday classics.
We'll also hear A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. Scrooged, mm-hmm. The Holiday, Miracle on 34th Street, While You Were Sleeping, Lion in Winter, and a little music from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Danny Elfman, right?
That's right.
And that's tomorrow, 10 to noon?
That's right. And by the way, Danny Elfman did Scrooged as well.
I did not know that.
That's right.
All right. Peach, thanks.
Thanks, Kyle.